I want to just have us picture for a moment what it would be like if we were able to have, you know, get this, use your imagination, a remote control that could pause, rewind, and fast forward time. There was actually, I think, a movie about that once upon a time, but imagine you could take time and pause it. And life would stand still. Maybe you could still do what you do, but life stage would never move forward. You would never get older. You would just stay as things are if you could push pause. If you push fast forward, you could age really fast. Like for you guys, like it's this direction. Or if you wanted to rewind time, you could go back like that. Now, if you had to pick, if you had the ability to pick the best time of your life, the favorite time that you'd like to get to and push pause, when would that be? All right, so think about that right now. If you could go back to a time where you could just freeze it and live there forever, when would it be? I mean, maybe it was when you were in school and you were carefree. You didn't have a lot of hard responsibilities, although kids think that they do. Parents are like, yeah, listen up. You think life's hard now. It's not. Maybe there's a certain teacher or a certain group of friends and you just want to pause time there forever. Maybe it's when you went to college and you got more freedom and you didn't yet have the full responsibilities of the world, but that was right around the right life stage for you. Or maybe it's when you were dating someone and it's like, ooh, that was fun. Or maybe you want to go back to when you were single and live that time. If you have kids, maybe when your kids were young. And I mean, we said this to our boys, we'd like to just freeze you at this age right now. Hey, parents, maybe you've experienced that. If you want to just freeze your kids there and kind of live that bit younger life. And or maybe it's before health got bad. Or you were in a certain job. Or finances were good. You got the time? You got it? All right. Now imagine you could stay there. Life would be comfortable. It would be good. Nothing would ever change. No one would ever get hurt. Sounds good. It's all good in the neighborhood. But what would we miss out on if we did that? What if we had stopped time at some place and never moved forward? What would we miss out on? If we were static, if we were comfortable, if we were safe, we'd never meet new people and grow from that. We'd never grow from life's experiences. We'd never get wisdom and maturity. You'd never experience a different stage of life, even though God made us to be living in different stages of life. How about this? You'd never chase a dream. You'd never chase a dream that you had on your mind, whether it's a dream for an economic thing or a dream for something you wanted to do or accomplish in life or to travel somewhere or something you want to do for God's kingdom. And he put a burden on your heart and you could chase after it. You could never do that. And for that matter, we'd never get to heaven because we'd be stuck someplace in our past and never moving forward to that final finish line where we can be with the Lord face to face forever and ever. See, there's something wired into the world, wired into our lives, that time marches forward. Time advances. We age, we grow, and yes, we even change. Some of you who were around in the 60s remember a singing group called The Birds, who had a song, "There is a season, turn, turn, turn," right? It was kind of famous, popular back then. I don't know if I could sing all the words exactly to it, because it was a little before my time. But it sounds like it's right out of the book of Ecclesiastes, doesn't it? There's a time for this and a time for that, and a season for this and a season for that, and things change. Time goes forward. New relationships, new phases of life, new challenges, new accomplishments. To put it even more purposefully into language that we would see from the Bible, God has called us to live with a posture of faith in Him in regards to the future. Not a posture of fear, not a posture of holding back, but a posture of faith. In fact, there's an entire chapter of the Bible devoted to honoring people who embraced what God was doing in their life, how God called them forward, and they took steps of faith. It's Hebrews chapter 11. And it goes through one by one and honors people who took steps of faith. It talks about Abraham, who lived in one place, and yet God said, I want you to leave your family, your home, and go to a place I'm going to show you. Didn't even give him the address. Didn't give him any directions. Just said, I want you to follow me. And Abraham packed up everything and went by faith. It talks about Moses, who was told to go back to his people after he had already fled Egypt and fled his people. God said, go back to your people, and I want you to lead them out of Egypt, out of slavery, and into the promised land. And somewhat reluctantly, by faith, Moses did it. And he walked with God, and God did some amazing things through him. It tells the story of Gideon, who rescued the Israelites from the Midianites. It tells the story of Rahab, who was willing to help the Israelites when they were going into the promised land. And she did that by faith. And by faith, by faith, by faith is the theme of that chapter. And there's a verse early on in the chapter that kind of encapsulates the whole thing. It's verse 6. I'm going to put it on the screen here. Hebrews 11:6. Read this with me. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, embedded within that verse is this idea that we're called to trust Him. We're called to listen to Him. We're called to obey Him. That we're going to follow Him no matter what He may be wanting us to do. We're going to take risks. See, God's mission never changes, has never changed over time. He wants to redeem a people for Himself, call a people that will follow Him. But the vision of how He wants to do it is going to be fresh and new in each place, in each time period, with each person. And we have to be willing to have faith to move forward in what God's asking of us. So today we're going to come upon our seventh and final core value that we've been in a series. This is the final day. We started back in September talking about seven core values that the Christian and Missionary Alliance put together, but they're not great just because they're put together by some people somewhere, but because they articulate how to stay moving forward, how to stay on mission with God, close to the heart of God. We've covered from the first one that lost people matter to God. He wants them found. It was the mission of Jesus, and it's the mission Jesus gave us. And then He said, I want you to be on this great commission with me and see that message gets out to the whole world. And then we talked about prayer as the primary work of God. We have to be a praying people. Otherwise, we're going to be stuck with just our own human efforts and not what God can do. Which leads to the fourth one, which is Holy Spirit dependence. The empowering of the Holy Spirit to get this job done. And then we talked about knowing and obeying God's word as the foundation for it all. His word is what speaks to us. It's how God guides us forward. We have to not only know it, but obey it. And then we talked last week about stewardship. And everything that we have was given by God, and we're just the managers. He's the owner. And when He says, I want you to release this or do this with your time, your talent, your finances, we do it. We resource the mission that God gives us. And it leads us to today, the seventh core value. Achieving God's purposes means taking faith-filled risks. This always involves change. If we're going to achieve God's purposes for us, if we're going to stay on mission with God, then it would make sense that we will sometimes have to take steps that we don't even see the way forward. We say yes before we know how. Does that make sense? Abraham said yes before he knew how and where. And that means we're going to have to do the same thing. Taking faith-filled risks. We walk by faith and not by sight. And it always involves change. You know, you think about the mission of God. Jesus lived this core value. This isn't a pie in the sky kind of value. Jesus followed the will of the Father in coming to this earth. He came and left his place in glory. He left his throne where he was worshipped, where you could say it was very safe in the glory of God. And he took on frail human flesh and didn't come as a strong adult. He came as a baby. It's incredible when you think about what Jesus did. He came, he lived this earth, he walked this earth with us. He faced the same temptations, he faced the same limitations, the hunger, pain. He experienced loss. But he had the will of the Father that he followed by faith. And then he followed so intently that it led him to a place of the ultimate sacrifice on the cross. He did that in his humanity, folks. A faith-filled risk. Following God does not always mean it's going to be safe. We don't get to wrap ourselves in bubble wrap and go, ah, now I'm going to follow God. I'll never get hurt. I'll never suffer. It'll never be hard. I'll know all the answers. No. It involves faith-filled risks. Jesus did it for the mission. Walking in faith in the Father's will, and in the empowering of the Holy Spirit, just like us. You know, I did some thinking this past week about how faith-filled risks have been played out in our history. And if you're not part of the Christian Missionary Alliance, it was a denomination that was started not to be a denomination. It was started just to be a movement of Christians who would be passionate about getting the message of Jesus around the world. Who could experience the freedom of being energized and fulfilled by Jesus, not only our Savior, but our Sanctifier, who would make us live holy and passionate lives for God. And he's our healer, and he's our coming King. And this message was proclaimed, and people gathered, and the Christian Missionary Alliance was born. And it began with the passionate preaching of a man named A.B. Simpson. As he was in the 1800s, 1880s, and was preaching, he left his church and started tent meetings, and it grew into more tent meetings, and it started churches and camp meetings. And young people signed up to go overseas. You see the picture of these folks representing different areas of the world where God was calling them even back in that day. They volunteered to go. There was a missionary training institute opened up in New York, and they went to this school. They were trained for somewhere in the range of a year to 2 years. They didn't even get a full college degree, and they went. And it says something about the passion of these people as they went. They went to some of the darkest places on earth. They went to the interior of Africa, which was known as a missionary graveyard. They went to places like China and India, where there was no common language, no common even philosophy or any sort of religious understanding that would help as they went. It was completely a new work, a new field. They went to the mountains of South America, where there were Indian tribes who had never been reached by any sort of white man at all. Bravely, in faith-filled risk, they went, knowing that many of them would never come back alive. In fact, they went packing their belongings in wooden boxes that were shaped like coffins, because most of them, either by disease or persecution, were going to come home not alive in that coffin. That's how they went. They bought one-way tickets to go to these places, loaded their stuff on a ship, and went. You talk about a faith-filled risk. Those people were the pioneers who opened up fields where there are now thousands and thousands of believers in Jesus Christ because they were willing to go. Think of the risk that they took. Think of the sacrifice that it took for them to go. In the Christian Missionary Alliance today, there are over 6 million people who now worship Jesus Christ because of men and women like that. It's incredible. It's awesome. We look at their risk and we go, yes, that is wonderful. But let me ask you, have you caught a vision for what God wants to do in our world today? What he wants to do now? How he wants to use you? Because guess what? There are still millions of people who have never heard the name of Jesus, ever. Millions. And then there are billions who have heard the name of Jesus but have no clue what it means or who he is, or have some distorted picture of who he is, and are living outside of salvation, outside of knowing Jesus and the life change that he can bring and the hope that there is for the future and for heaven. What more significant goal could we have in life than the one Jesus already gave us, to get the message of Christ around the world? You know, there's thousands of people in your own town, wherever you live, in this central Pennsylvania area, that some of them may have not heard the name of Jesus. That's rare. But a lot of them don't understand who Jesus is. And he sent you and me. And he put this church here as a place where people could hear about it. And he's put you in your neighborhood, you in your workplace, you in the relationships that you are, so that people could hear. And he says, I want you to take faith-filled risks and follow me, just like these folks did. Maybe he's calling you overseas. I don't know. But he's for sure calling you to the people in your life. We stand upon men and women's shoulders like this, that every man, woman, and child could be told the message of Jesus and have a chance to respond. And when you get that vision, it makes you do crazy things, like going overseas with your stuff in a coffin. Fast forward 100 years, 130 years, that the Christian Missionary Alliance has been in existence, the mission that we've been on. People have gone, they've told the message of Christ. We have places that people have gone to, where missionaries have gone, where they've built up enough churches, enough pastors, enough seminaries to keep it going, where we no longer have to be there. The nation of Chile celebrated in 1997, 100 years of missions in the country of Chile. And they had a wonderful time because the Chilean church is so strong, they began to get the conclusion, we don't need American missionaries here anymore. And do we go, oh, that's so sad, we wish we could stay there? Or do we celebrate because now the church has come full circle and is strong? Their national church is sending missionaries. Isn't that awesome? So the Christian Missionary Alliance was able to pull out of Chile and pull out of many other countries in Central and South America. It's wonderful. The vision is being accomplished. They didn't need us anymore. But look at this map. This map represents anywhere where you see light is where there is a strong gospel presence. There's access to hearing about Christ. And hopefully you can see it. It's a little bit of a faded image. But where is it dark? Where do they need to hear the message of Christ? Look at Northern Africa, how dark it is. Look at places in the Middle East and in Central Asia, Northern Asia. Guess where the Christian Missionary Alliance is putting its resources now? In those places, in the darkest places, where people are now going, knowing that their very life is at risk, knowing that they may never come home, knowing that it may take years and years. We might just be starting a 100-year cycle going into some of these countries for the first time. It's a bold move. It's a faith-filled move. It's a necessary move. But you better believe that was a hard decision by our national leaders to start transitioning, pulling people out of Central and South America and taking those very resources that we paid the salaries of those people and their travel expenses and start putting it toward missionaries who were going to go into the darkest places. People who had given their whole career, they had trained, learned Spanish, done missionary training, spent decades building relationships with people, investing in people, and moving things forward, and then they find out, we're closing that field. There might be another place for you in a Spanish-speaking area, but there might not be. You may need to consider coming home. That was a hard decision, folks. I remember hearing about it, and just the pain, the difficulty of it. It was change. It was hard. But the vision drove us forward in faith-filled risk. Let's think about it here at home. Let's think about it here at Emmanuel Church. What are some ways we have seen faith-filled risk? 20 years ago, there was a small group of people that decided we've got to do something to reach lost people, and they found a commonality that a lot of people around here like to hunt. They like to eat deer, venison. And they started a banquet of venison and other good food that they could serve and bring in a good speaker. And lo and behold, people will come because it's about hunting. And now, 20 years later, this banquet has almost 1,000 people that come on one weekend, on a Friday night and Saturday night in January, at the end of January. They do it every year. The reputation has grown so much that they have no problem selling out the tickets. We feed a lot of people in a short amount of time, have a great message by a Christian speaker who presents the message of Christ. And this year, this past January, you know how many people accepted Christ? I've said it a couple months ago, but maybe you forgot. 45 people professed faith in Christ through that event. That's awesome. A faith-filled risk that God is using and blessing. And the next one's rolling around in just 3 months. So you guys who put this thing together, you take a deep breath because it's coming up again. It's a lot of work. And by the way, if you haven't been part of it, we need your help. Get on board with the Sportsman's Banquet. It led this church to be willing 9 years ago to start a Spanish-speaking church called El Camino. El Camino still meets here. It looks a little different these days. Not as big of a Sunday morning crowd, but there's a large Wednesday night crowd of 25 people that meet here at 10:30 at night and worship Jesus. There's a small group that meets on Sunday mornings just because of the schedules of these Spanish-speaking folks. And over the years, dozens of people have come to faith in Christ, but now there's an English ministry that happens here on Tuesdays and Thursdays in the mornings and evenings. And 15 to 20 people from Emmanuel Church are involved in this ESL ministry, this English as a Second Language ministry. And you're involved in the lives of these immigrants on a weekly basis. And Pastor Armando reports that since last September when we kicked that off and all the new relationships that were established, he has seen about 35 people come to faith in Christ. A faith-filled risk. It's hard work. I mean, Armando is constantly meeting with people. His schedule's all over the place. Those of you who are volunteering, you know it's hard work. It's out of your comfort zone. There's no bubble wrap involved in ESL ministry, folks. But people are coming to faith in Christ, and it's awesome. And people, even if they're not coming to faith in Christ yet, seeds are being planted. And they're seeing that some strangers, white people I don't even know, would actually care about me and help me. In the name of Jesus. That's awesome. Faith-filled risk. There's a group of volunteers that have started the release time ministry at Elmwood Elementary School, which is right across the street. Trisha Klein heads it up. There's a group of volunteers from our church and one or two other churches that get involved with this. It's legal in Pennsylvania for students to be released for 1 hour per week for religious instruction. It's in the law. It's amazing. If their parents sign off on it and they get permission. And so we're like, yeah, we'll do that here and teach them the Bible and do memory verses and share about Christ. And last year it started small. There were 5 people. Then it went down to 4 kids because one moved away. But one little girl prayed to receive Christ last year. It was awesome. This year, it's doubled. There are 7 or 8 kids coming, and there's a 9th one that's a possibility, and they're seeing it grow and increase, and it's a faith-filled risk. It's not always easy, but they're doing it because the vision is clear. The mission is out in front of us. We need to reach lost people. Have you caught a vision yet for what God wants to do through you and in this world? In our church's history, we've experienced some faith-filled risks. 10 years ago, this church was in a very hard spot, hurting. There had been some rough times, and God called Pastor Terry Smith to come back to this church. He never in the world thought he'd be back here after being here a few years earlier, and there were some difficult times that the church went through, but he followed God's call. God gave him vision. God gave you all vision. And God turned Emmanuel Church around. And look around this room today, folks. It's awesome because Pastor Terry was willing to follow God's call. But then God called him to another faith-filled risk 2 years ago, just over 2 years ago. Some of you who are around, you remember this like it was yesterday. He broke the news that God was calling him into our district office to oversee 87 churches in the Eastern Pennsylvania district. And he was going to be leaving here. And then another shoe fell, and Dwayne Stein was called to go with him. He's over here. You can punch him later after the service. He took a faith-filled risk to go. God called them away, and it was amazing for the district and hard for our church. It involved change. And God then in his plan was stirring me and showing me I needed to be open to his call. And Pastor Terry reached out to me and God called my wife and I to come here. That was a faith-filled risk. We left where all our kids knew, 12 years growing up in Ohio in this one town, and to come to Central PA. We love Central PA. God's up to something here. We want to be part of what he's doing here in this church and in this area. But it was a faith-filled risk, and it was change for us. And then God called Pastor Kyle and Brittany to come here as well, and that was change for them, but it was a faith-filled risk. But with faith-filled risk, there's that word that hangs behind it. It always involves what? Change. We hate change, don't we? It's hard. Well, some people hate change. Some people love change. And those people were like, what's the matter with you guys? But most of us hate change. It's difficult. It hurts. Things are different. It's not the same. This church lost actually all three of its pastors within 1 year's time. That was hard for this church. You got two entirely different new ones, weird ones. Yeah, that's right. Preach it. And it's changed. It feels different. Church feels different. We do things a little differently. But I'm continuing in Pastor Terry's call and Jesus' call to keep us moving forward to reach our community and to see that we become relevant to this lost world, that they would see us as a place they want to come and find answers as to why life doesn't make sense and why there's a hopelessness. Folks, it's found in Jesus. We will rally around the fact that we have the message that changes lives. The only message that changes lives. Our church had a series of changes a year ago when 10 beloved folks from our church in 1 year, I don't know if that's ever happened in Emmanuel Church's history, but they graduated on to glory. And it was hard. Some of you are still grieving the loss of those people that we loved in this church. That was change. And with all the change that happens in life, there comes an emotion called grief. Every change is a loss of how things were, what it used to be like. And every time there's a loss, you have an emotion called grief. And maybe you're still experiencing that from changes that have happened here in our church. Maybe things that have happened in your life over the last couple of years. And we need to have permission to grieve. And acknowledge that things are hard sometimes. I don't think God would call us into the faith-filled risks and just have us completely ignore what we had and the loss. Sometimes we need to express that. Sometimes we need to process through that. And I want to, as a pastor, be sensitive to that and give you permission as it relates to this church to grieve. It's okay that it's hard sometimes. And some things bring it up again and it's hard. But I do want us to remember the first half of this equation. Let's not move away from faith-filled risks. We've got to move forward in what God calls us to. Not only is life just always changing and our church always changing, there's a culture that's always changing. It gets new technology and new crazy music and philosophies and technology that's changing faster than we can even keep up with. And the church is not called to keep up with it entirely and completely, but we are called to be keepers of a message. And we are called to find ways to speak that message to our world. And we've got to constantly be doing that. And as one wise retired pastor put it, our message will never change. Our messengers will change over time. And our methods that we go about doing it better change, so that our world can hear the message of Christ. See, Jesus didn't default to comfort zone. Comfort zone equals good in many people's minds. Comfort zone, good. Stretching equals bad. Jesus embraced stepping out of the comfort zone and into this world that was dangerous and risky. But he did it. Paul, the greatest missionary ever, stepped out of comfort zone and found ways to bring the gospel to a lost world. The people in Hebrews 11 found ways follow God and step out of their comfort zone. The early members of the Christian Missionary Alliance did it. And I believe God wants to call Emmanuel Church to engage more and more into this community and into this world. And as he leads us into the years ahead, I don't know what all he's going to have for us that he wants us to do, but I want us to be in a posture of faith that says, when he taps us on the shoulder, "I got something I want you to do," we'd say, "Yes, Lord." Not, "No, we can't do that. We're not ready to do that. We don't have enough money to do that. We're not sure how we can make that all happen." He wants us to say, "Yes, Lord," and figure out the details later as he provides. Faith-filled risks. If we're going to achieve his purposes that he wants to do through our church and in this central Pennsylvania area and around the world, we've got to be willing to say yes. He wants you to do that in your own life. When he comes to you and says, "I've got something I want you to do," we say, "Yes, Lord." Faith-filled risk. Obedience, yes. Sacrifice, yes. Will it be hard? Yes. Will it involve change? Yes. Is it worth it? Yes. It's worth it, folks. It's worth it. The burden of faith-filled risk is put on us, not on the world. The world isn't going to take faith-filled risks to find us. I mean, sometimes people are primed and ready and they're willing to do whatever it takes to find out. But more often than not, we got to take the risk to go to them, not them to us. And that's just the way it is in life. The parent takes the risks for the children. The older for the younger, the mature for the immature, the Christian for the non-Christian. The burden of faith-filled risk is on us. We've got to do it. We got to take that remote control, if we were able to have it, and not go backwards and rewind, and to not push pause and hold it there forever. Faith-filled risks means moving it to present day and pushing play and letting God take us forward. That's our call. That's what we have to do. You know, as the pastor of this church, as we reflect on these seven core values that we've had, I want to see that our greatest days of fulfilling those are ahead and not behind us. I mean, what if? What if we had a posture of faith? What if we knew and obeyed God's word? What if we prayed like never before? What if we depended on the Holy Spirit like never before? What if we let God break our heart for the lost like never before? Think of what could be at this church. Think of what he could do through us. Think of what he did with 11 disciples who often didn't have a clue what was going on. I can relate. But because of their faith-filled risk and obedience, they turned the world upside down. What about us? What about here? What about now? I believe God is speaking. I believe he's challenging us to continue to move forward. And I don't know what that means for you. Ben, let's just throw this whole list on the screen here. I just tried to think of some ways. These are not the only ways. These are just possible ways. Maybe begin praying for the top three in your life, three people that need to find out about Jesus. Maybe begin to have, let's not call them unbelievers, let's call them not yet believers. That's faith-filled risk, right? Have not yet believers over to your house. Christmas is coming up. Invite neighbors over. Have a party just so you can get to know people. And begin to have a right to speak into their life and show them the love of Jesus so that you can present one day about Jesus to them. Invest in a discipling relationship. Pastor, I don't know how to disciple anyone. Okay, don't call it disciple. Befriend someone in our church that needs to be befriended, needs to be cared for, needs to have someone to talk to and be prayed for. Start a relationship like that. Go on a missions trip this year. Increase your giving by 2%, 1%, I don't know, but take a faith-filled risk and begin to give more. Release the past and take a posture of embracing what God is going to do now, whether it's in our church, whether it's in your own personal life. Start to think forward. What does God want to do in your life next? Do you have any inkling? Here we are at the beginning of the fall. It's kind of a new year, heading through a whole school year kind of mentality. Any idea what God wants to do through you in this next year? Any step he's calling you to take? Do it. Be willing to say yes. It's crazy. The world might not understand this, but I'm supposed to do this. As we close, I want to put a prayer on the screen. Just in a second, Ben, here. But we're gonna read a prayer together that I hope will be one that just expresses all of this together as our prayer. That we would not be a safe people. There's an analogy that it's going to allude to about a boat in a harbor. And what if the boat never leaves the harbor? Is it really doing what it was designed for? We got to sail, folks. We got to be willing to do what God asks us to do and fulfill the purpose that he gave us. This prayer was written by Bob Featherlin, who some of you might recognize as the man who used to oversee all of our international ministries for a period of about 10 or 12 years in the CMA. And as he was writing about this core value and thinking about it, he said, "Here will be my prayer for the Alliance family." And I want it to be our prayer today that we would embrace what God has for us, that we would be willing to move forward. And so I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to read this prayer together. If you really can't read it and mean it, don't feel obligated to do it. But if you want to be in, if you want to embrace what God has for you, for our church, for his mission, let's read this together. Father, enable us to be people who so trust you that we're willing to jump off the edge to further your kingdom. Help us to love you and others to the point where some view us as irrational. We want to care more than some think is wise, dream more than some people think is practical, and expect more from you than some think is even possible. Keep us from being well pleased with ourselves when we're focusing on the known and comfortable, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little. And when it comes to achieving your purposes, may we venture on wider seas where only you can save us, thereby making your power and glory known. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May that be true of us.